the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 307, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. It's Rivalry Week. The Cougars and Utes are not playing it safe anymore, and neither are we. We preview the Utah game, make predictions, and make fun of the coach who shall not be named. Also on this week's show, Jamal and other Cougars shine in the NFL, offensive coordinator rumors, and our thoughts on the upcoming movie The Last Jedi. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this podcast and other great shows at deseretnews.com/podcast. Join our conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. And listen to us right now. All right, Matt. It's Rivalry Week.
You rivalry said it correctly.
Week.
You said it right.
I've been practicing for days.
Man. Over I kind of miss it when you used to say, why will we week?
It'll happen. It's guaranteed. We're recording this at like 10 o'clock at night. There's a 100% chance I end up saying it wrong.
Sweet.
So let's not fool ourselves. But at least I started it off well. Matt, Dave Rose, and we'll get into this later, says because of the delay of this rivalry that there's going to be too much hype this week. So we're just going to add to it.
Yeah,
let's
hype machine.
Let's throw fuel on that fire. We'll get that in a second. But first,
Who were you just talking about?
Dave Rose.
Oh, okay. Whew.
Dave Rose, not he who shall not be named.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page.
No, I don't read anything about what that idiot says. I don't care what he says anymore. You know, he's probably trying to kill Harry Potter or something.
He's a crazy man.
Trying to kill babies. Did I just say that the Utah coach was trying to kill babies? Was that a little too
like,
much?
I feel like we went past the line there.
We went past the line there? All right. Anyway, well, let's talk about something even more important than the rivalry. Star Wars. You're not reacting. Is it more important than the rivalry? The answer is yes.
I thought there was more.
Oh, no, I was waiting for you to say, no, Adam, that's not true. It's not more important.
I'm not sure that it is true.
All right, so anyway, let's start off. We got some tweet bag questions about Star Wars.
Tweet bag.
Andre Hutchins, that's at AC_Hutchins on Twitter, says, I probably missed the cutoff, but all I want to say is hashtag Star Wars. That is all. That's all you really need to say, Andre.
That's all there is to say. Do you have tickets? All right, I hope you at least have tickets. Tell me you already
have tickets for two different days. You stop it.
I gotta figure out. I gotta get my act together. I gotta get that squared away and under control.
We'll get to that in a second here. Justin Sweeney has a question for us.
Sweeney,
that's at Justin D Sweeney on Twitter. He says, "Can we get some Star Wars predictions? Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag nerdbag. Hashtag why will we week?" And that's me reading what he wrote, not mispronouncing it. Why will we week? All right. So Matt, any predictions for Star Wars? I mean, by the way, I've watched Rogue One, New Hope, Empire, Return of the Jedi, and the Force Awakens in the last like 10 days. So I'm ready.
See, I've not done any of those things. I feel like I'm going to find myself ill prepared.
At least rewatch the Force Awakens. You own the Force Awakens, I assume. Oh my gosh, Matt!
That. Do I own it?
It's $20 on iTunes. Go or on your Amazon Fire Stick, whatever's plugged into your TV.
Why would you even ask me that? Hey, I think I'm getting ready to cut the cord, by the way.
Are you gonna do it through what, an Apple TV, a Fire Stick? I mean,
use my Apple TV and do the Hulu Live.
I will tell you this, Hulu Live stinks at live sports sometimes. It's a pain.
In what way?
Sometimes just weird glitches, like it'll throw you back into a commercial, even after you've passed it. I've had some weird experiences.
Now you're making me nervous.
But there's lots of other options. There's the DirecTV one. There's lots of options. Go check it out. And maybe some of our listeners will throw stuff at you.
I'm going to continue to do some research, but I'm committed to do it.
Yeah.
I'm committed to it.
You should. They charge too much money. So the last one on Star Wars. Oh no, predictions. I'll give my big prediction. Okay, you ready for my big prediction? Of course, I've read no spoilers. I'm going on after tonight I'm going on social media blackout until after I see it Friday afternoon. Okay? Social media blackout. No social media. That's what that means.
No. No media of the social kind.
Of the social kind, yes. Other kinds of media, perhaps. Perhaps. My biggest prediction is we will not find out who Ray's parents are. That's my big prediction. We will end the movie and still have some questions about her parentage.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you there.
I don't think they're going to wrap it all up in a bow for us.
No, why would you?
I think there's going to be more questions than there are answers. And Han Solo comes back as a zombie.
Is that for real?
I think that's likely. No, that is not for real. If that happens, I think it will have jumped the shark.
And when you say zombie, do you mean like Walking Dead zombie, Night of the Living Dead zombie?
I mean Night of the Living Dead zombie.
Plants versus zombies?
No, I mean like old school, like people that were dead and they come back to life zombies, not some type of virus takes over your brain and your skin starts to rot zombie. I mean like, you know, Thriller.
Okay. So not like World War Z.
Not World War Z, no. They won't be like running around and attacking you. They'll just be kind of creepy and walking around. And if you get too close, they might get you. Have you ever seen that Studio C sketch about Walking Dead?
I have not.
They basically just, the guy just says, well, why don't you just walk fast? Why don't you just always lock your doors? And then he's the only one that survives. Everybody else gets killed, and he's just like walking away at a leisurely pace. Like, I don't understand why people keep getting killed by these. Anyway, Jeremy Ashton asked this on, I think this was a email question. Will you be watching The Last Jedi over or under 3.5 times in the theater? Matt, I'm going to safely say for you it's under 3.5 times.
It is under. That's not even a question. That line is way too high.
I think for me, it really depends. I think I will most certainly, I will see it twice. I've got tickets for two different shows. I always end up seeing it twice. The question is whether I get to that fourth time. Three is a distinct possibility. It's the fourth time that becomes a problem. So I'm going to say under for me.
See, I think the line for me is at 1.5.
Yes, the line for you is 1.5, and I'm going to pick the under.
Maybe I'm going to go ahead and say it's a push.
Oh, that's not possible.
Sure, it is. I could walk out halfway through.
You're going to take one of the. Or, you're going to take your youngest kid
when it's halfway over.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Matt. Let's hop in. There's a bunch of stuff, so let's hop into the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt,
don't do that. You can't do sound effects. What was that?
.com. No, I can't do that. What if I do the Yahoo?
Yes. You're making it worse.
Remember that? Do you remember those commercials?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
You still have a Yahoo email address?
I do. I do have a Yahoo email address. I have ditched my Hotmail email address. I no longer have the Hotmail.
I still give it out.
When you sign up for stuff?
Yeah, I give. Yeah. Whenever I sign up for stuff like that, I always give them your Hotmail address.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. thank you. I appreciate that. That's batmangum at
And your Hotmail. Actual .com. Address. And your actual address.
Yeah, thanks. That's where all that stuff comes from. Matt, women's volleyball season ended in a 5-set heartbreak match. I watched it. They had it. And unfortunately, a really good Kentucky team and lost it in the 5th set. Had the chance to win it in 4 and couldn't close the deal. And then Kentucky went on one heck of a roll. But great season for the women's volleyball team. And a lot of players coming back. They're going to be good next year, Matt. They're going to be
nothing,
good.
There are a few things as cool as good college volleyball.
There are. I completely agree with you. And it was fun to watch the match. On ESPNU, I believe is what it was on, which was cool, right? Because nationally televised and it's cool, very cool. Matt, women's basketball, which is this year they've been there was question as how good they are, and obviously the big Utah, the rivalry game, they win 77 to 68, Matt. But the big news out of it was, of course, Cassie Broadhead Devichere, is that how you say her last name? It's, anyway, 36 points, Matt, of the 77. So that was the big deal. And then freshman Sarah Hampson, fresh off playing on the volleyball team, tied her sister Jennifer's record of 9 blocks for the third best in school history and added 9 rebounds. She hasn't played basketball all year and comes in and blocks 9 in her first game.
Yeah, it's. I think it's genetic.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. You know, I didn't watch that game, but I did see some of the highlights of the blocks. Let's just say I think people should probably not try to shoot over her.
No, I would go a different route.
I would go a different route. Of course.
Of course, I'm 5'9". I wouldn't stand a chance.
Yeah, she's 6'7". Okay, so. That's,
I'm pretty sure she would block me the way I block shots from my 6-year-old son.
I think it would look about the same. She's about the same height, I believe. I believe Jennifer was about that height as well. So obviously,
so the height difference is probably similar.
Yes, the height difference would probably be similar. But good job, way to take it to the Utes, Matt. It's time to talk about Cougars in the pros with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Sit down, get down.
The Cleveland Browns, who couldn't hold a lead against the Green Bay Packers. Matt, the Green Bay Packers came back and won in overtime. And you know one of the big reasons why they did?
Jamal,
third straight great week. This time does, you know, over 100 yards again in combined yardage, thanks to, you know, some pass receiving. Running was tough in that game. The Cleveland run defense actually is pretty good. It might be the only thing good about the Browns. And then I'll tell you what. Did you watch that game at all?
I did watch some of that game.
I watched that game. Their coaching is terrible. Like,
yep.
They go up 21-7 to have a chance to get their first victory of the year, and they did not go for the jugular. They started playing soft defense. They stopped blitzing Humley, who's not a great quarterback. And then on offense, they got super conservative. And I get it. DeShone Kizer's terrible. But
they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yes, they did. And kudos to the Packers for, like, obviously did not give up. And Jamal had a great game and a couple of touchdowns. And he's doing well for me in fantasy football. This was after, like, what was this, 6 or 7 weeks ago? We told people not to pick him up, and both of us picked him up.
And now he starts on both of our teams.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Also in that game, Matt, Kai Nakua played a lot and had career-high 5 tackles.
Including one tackle where he hit Jamal.
Yes. A little too hard, I thought. Kai, it's Jamal. Ease up, buddy. I'm just kidding. It was, it's Kai Nakua. He's hits everybody hard. Matt, Ziggy Ansah had his best game of the season. 7 tackles and a sack to end the game against the Buccaneers. Time expired because of his sack. Good job, Ziggy. He's
pretty
awesome.
In
the bad news department, Matt, Kyle Van Noy was hurt, and the Patriots' defense looked like crap. I was annoyed by the Monday Night Football announcers who barely mentioned him. They kept saying that people were out, and they even said the guy that usually calls plays is out, but they, like, hardly mentioned Vannoy's name. He leads the team
almost in like
tackles.
They didn't want to talk about him.
And he's second on the team in sacks. Like, he's maybe the best defensive player this year by numbers. So, Derek McKay on – this is our first Patriots question, especially pro-Patriots question, Matt. Derek McKay on Twitter, that's at – Dur_McKay says, how hard will the Patriots bounce back and beat the Steelers this week? Hard. If they can get some people back. But I blame Gronk for this. We talked about this last week. I don't think they lose if Gronk's in the lineup. He changed the whole offense. Stupid Gronk.
No, that was dumb.
That's just dumb. Like, he should have been in this game. Not, and again, let's be clear. because he's an idiot, not because the NFL shouldn't have suspended him, right? We are both totally fine with the one-game suspension. I actually would have been fine with
I'm shocked that it was just a one-game suspension.
Yeah, they've kind of set that precedent. That's just kind of what they're doing for those kind of hits. I think it's wrong, but it is consistent with their terrible discipline. How's that? Matt, outside of the NFL, Jimmer continues to light it up with 50-point games in China. I don't know what to do with this stuff anymore. I wish we could watch him more, you know? But, I mean, he's just lighting it up again. I mean...
It's crazy.
It's awesome. You know.
But, I mean, the team's, I think, struggling a little bit, but...
Well, you know, Jimmer's got a Jimmer, you know?
Jimmer's got a Jimmer. Isn't that the truth?
And then some awesome news is former BYU baseball player Jack Morris, who then played most famously for the Detroit Tigers, was admitted to the Baseball Hall of Fame through, I think they call it the Modern Era Committee now. It used to be called the Veterans Committee. Basically, if you didn't get through with the original voting, it's basically a committee to make sure they don't make dumb mistakes. And they brought in two Tigers, him and shortstop Alan Trammell, who, by the way, should have been in originally. Jack Morris was always one of those guys that it was a matter of how much credit do you give somebody for their postseason success. Because his regular season career was very, very good. But really what I think people make him a Hall of Famer is he had some amazing postseason performances, including when he pitched for the Blue Jays a 10-inning complete game. I remember that. Nobody does that anymore. I mean, heck, you're lucky in the playoffs, even somebody like Kershaw, to get out of six, you know, because they then go to the high-powered bullpens. But anyway, congratulations to Jack Morris. I was one of my favorite players as a kid. I love Jack Morris. So, and a BYU grad. And I believe this is true. He's the first BYU baseball player to make it, and I don't know if he graduated actually, so I say grad. I don't actually know if that's true, but
he's an alum.
An alum.
You can be an alum without graduating.
I believe he's the first BYU baseball player to make it into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I believe that's true.
And if you're incorrect, somebody is sure to point that out.
Maybe, maybe not. So Matt, let's talk basketball.
Hoops.
Okay, so we've got basketball this week, had two games. That we previewed last time, which was Illinois State and Weber State. And I put the S on Illinois on purpose, by the way. That's just to annoy people from Illinois.
Oh, yeah. People from Illinois really don't like that.
They really dislike hearing Illinois. Anyway, so Matt, they take it to Illinois State, who's a decent team, and I thought that was a good game. And then in the really weird Beehive Classic, which they get all of the Utah teams together on the same day and have them play at the Vivint Smart Arena, but don't have BYU and Utah play. It's weird, and they apparently the crowds suffered accordingly, right? So anyway, Matt, that's the game I want to talk about. Weber State was undermanned; they were missing, well, theoretically three starters because they've had one they've been missing all year, and then two more. And then BYU kind of ekes out a victory. Are you concerned about only beating a very undermanned Weber State team by six?
No, I mean, there's nothing there to be concerned about. It's a decent team. They did really well in the FCS playoffs. So there's really nothing to be... Wait a minute. Wait a second.
That's not what we're talking about.
It's not the same thing. I'm not sure, and I think that's kind of where we're going. I'm coming back and seriously answer your question. I'm not sure what to make of that.
I don't either.
You would imagine, if you had told me that before the game, right? You feed me all that information before the game, everything you just said, I would kind of expect us to not destroy them, but to, you know, win comfortably.
Right.
You know, I think that it's a team that would be that it's that might maybe a really good matchup when they're 100% and have everybody. But when you tell me that from the beginning of the season to now, you know, or preseason, they're down three starters, I feel like we ought to be able to put them away.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that way too. There's some good things that came out of this game. Hawes, in the last few games, has come alive. So we talked about that last week, that you were concerned that he might not. 24-3-5 in that game, only two turnovers and three steals. Hit, you know, 4 of 6 from the three-point line. He had a good game. Childs has kind of been slow, though he's still producing. He had 10-10-2-2 blocks. I mean, so a little bit off shooting night, but overall that wasn't too bad. Cannon is probably not going to score a billion points every week, right. but he's looked very solid. He continues to be, I think, very solid. And I don't know. Again, we talked about this last week. I don't think he's probably going to do what Emery did last year, but I think he gets us a decent part of the way there. So Cannon to me is, I like it. I still like where Cannon's at. Hype train aside from last week.
Hype train.
Yeah, hype train aside.
All aboard.
But I still, he may end up being a top four player for us, Matt. I think that still might be true. So let's jump into a few other things before we get to the rivalry. Did I just say that wrong?
Dang it. That's great.
Dang it. Where are we at with this team? Jeremy Ashton on the email. So you can climb on in.
Climb on in.
The tweet bag. Three different ways, Matt. Well, maybe more than that, but we'll give out three different ways.
There's all sorts of ways to climb on into the tweet bag.
So the first one is Twitter, at BYU_Rayshaw. I'm not even going to recognize to even respond to that. You're ridiculous. Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, or old-fashioned email, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. One word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. And that's how Jeremy did it, was via the email. He said, and I don't believe he uses a Hotmail account. I'd have to go and verify that. BYU basketball.
It gives away your age, what email address you give out.
That is true. That is true. It does give away your age. Jeremy does not have a Hotmail account. He is not emailing. I shouldn't say he doesn't have one. Jeremy, I don't know if you have a Hotmail account. So anyway, BYU basketball, he says, is currently on a 5-game winning streak. Though the Weber State game was very close and two of Weber's top guys were missing, which we just mentioned. On a scale of 0 to Jimmer, how are you currently feeling about BYU's chances of making it to the NCAA tournament, Matt? 0 to Jimmer. Jimmer obviously being like, gosh, we might make the Elite Eight. And 0 being, you know, 0% chance of making it. Where are you on that scale?
Mark Bigelow.
Oh. Mark Bigelow, that's good. Well done, sir. Well done.
But, you know, when I started thinking about it, that's the first one that came to mind. So what I'm saying here is I'm not ruling it out.
No, Bigelow.
For sure, right? Bigelow, I mean, you throw out Bigelow, you're not saying that the team's not going to make it. But we're not a lock.
Oh, no, most certainly not. And the problem for us, there's a couple of problems for us being a lock. And when I say us, I know some people get annoyed. Get over it. Okay, I've been saying it my whole life. Our problem is this. We don't have a marquee out-of-conference win. Right? And our out-of-conference schedule is not that particularly good. Right? Out-of-conference, the average team we're playing is 171st in the country, according to Massey ratings. So, you know, we needed to beat UT Arlington. We didn't. We needed to beat Alabama, and we didn't. Those were the kind of resume-building wins that we needed. This other stuff that we're doing is all not smearing our resume. You know, beating Utah Valley, Utah State, Illinois State, Weber State.
Right, but you're not making your case with those wins.
You are not making your cases because most of those teams, if not all of them, will also not make the tournament unless they win their conference, right?
Right, but if this team can take care of business when they should, you know, we talked about, you know, do they lose one of these conference games that they shouldn't or not? So if they can take care of those, be competitive against the two conference teams that will probably beat them twice, and then look, then the big thing will be a good showing in the tournament.
Yes, yes. I think they need to split with St. Mary's on Gonzaga to get in the tournament, and they only get one, maybe two other conference losses. And maybe they only, maybe it really depends on what they do with Gonzaga, right? Because Gonzaga may, at least as of today, looks like a top 10, top 15 team, right? So that's a big win if you can get one of those wins. I think they're like last year. I don't think they'll quite make it if you're asking me today, but I think it's possible. And I think this team is about like last year, you know, as far as quality of play goes. I think they're about like last year. Speaking of that, Matt, I didn't have this on the agenda, but I feel like we need to talk about it. There, we have been talking about the defense being good. Other people have been talking about the defense being good. Well, a few people on Twitter have pointed out that according to the advanced stats, the defense is actually worse, and that it's really about the offensive pace. And because we take so many fewer shots in offense and our opponents do, we're actually, what we're really experiencing this year is a better offense. And the advanced stats back that up. Matt, were we wrong in saying that the defense is better and that it's really more of an offensive improvement?
I mean, that's what the stats are telling us. I'm willing to admit that we may have been incorrect.
I think the eye test sometimes fools you. Now, that being said, I think there are things we are doing offensively on the perimeter, defensively, that are better. I think where we're struggling is we don't have big guys that alter shots and do stuff in the paint like we had with Mika last year. Because we had Mika and Child sometimes on the court at the same time, and you weren't going inside very much, right? This year, we just don't have that kind of lineup. But I do think we're doing, this is again eye test and not advanced analytics talking, I think we are doing a better job shutting down guards on the perimeter than we have done. But we probably gave up a lot in the middle when we're doing that. But the offense looks good. I like what they're doing. A lot of passing, a lot of assists on field goals. It's good. I think the offense looks good. But Matt, that leads right into, we talked about needing needing some quality wins. You know who's a decent team this year? University of Utah.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
But Matt, you know what our resume needs? A victory over the University of Utah.
Yes, yes, it does.
We need a victory over the University of Utah. By the way, Matt, 260 made field goals this year. We have 159 assists. That's good. That is good moving the ball offense. So, Matt, for the Utah game, our first question is, of course, about the rivalry and about he who shall not be named. Jared Roundsville on Twitter, that's at J Roundsville, says, how many references to safety first will occur in this game on Saturday? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag go Cougs. Matt, setting it that number at 1,845, are you taking the over or under on safety first or any type of safety references?
Well, I think when you're presented with that line and that question, you have to make the safe bet. So, see what I did there?
Yeah, I see.
I'm going to go ahead and take the over.
Yeah, you got to take the over. I set the line too low. Listen, the BYU fans are not going to let this go. Especially not this year. Okay?
Nor should they. Safety is important.
No, we all should be worried about safety, you know? And thankfully, and we'll get to this here in a second, Nick Emery is not in this game because I think he was planning on just beating up their entire team. I mean, he's so big, Nick Emery.
I heard that this game was the whole reason he left school.
Well, he's such a big guy that I would be scared if I were them.
And he's mean. He's mean-spirited.
He's big, and he's like, you know, he could just crush you with his biceps.
He's menacing.
Right? They're scared of Yoli Childs, right? Is that what we're talking about? Oh, it was of that skinny guy, Emery? That's who they were scared of? Was Hawes not available to punch them? I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on. Why do you have to go after Hawes like that? Leave Hawes alone. It's not his fault. He looks like my tax guy.
By the way, he's playing a lot better, as we said. So
I'll tell you what. I would trust Hawes to do my taxes. I have no idea if he has the skills, but just looking at him, I'm like, that guy could.
Definitely. And my guess is he probably could.
Seems I don't like know. I don't even know what's his major. I don't know what his major. His major could be biology. For all I know, he looks like an accountant.
But hey, speaking of, if you walked in and he was a med student, would that shock you either?
No, not even a little bit.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
Matter of fact, I would say, aren't you a little old to be a med student? You should be a doctor by now.
Do they list majors on the website?
I don't see
the majors. Personal, it's got his wife's name, his parents, yeah. His dad's Marty Hawes, I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I had not made that connection.
And his brother, Tyler, more commonly known as TJ Hawes, is the all-time BYU leading scorer. I didn't know if you knew that.
That's important information.
Yeah, so they don't have it.
Somehow I missed that.
They never talk about that. I don't see a major on here, so I don't know what his major is, so we will move on. Matt,
I'm going to assume it's accounting.
Let's talk about the Utah game, okay? Know the foe. They're 7-2. Their best win is against Missouri. Their worst loss, well, the two losses are against two good teams, UNLV, and I watched the end of the Butler game one night as I was flipping around on the Hulu Live. And, so neither of their losses are egregious. That being said, they got absolutely plastered. I mean, who they lost to isn't egregious, but they got plastered by UNLV. I think it was like 85-58 or something crazy like that. So I guess that probably is their worst loss, right? Because they got, at least in the Butler game, they were competitive for most of the game. According to Sports Reference, they're the 47th best team in the country, have the 141st best offense, and the 62nd best defense. So according to the advanced analytics, we are opposite teams. Right now, we're better offensively, and they're better defensively. Matt, I don't know how that will play out on Saturday night, but it should be interesting to see if their offense can get it going against our defense or vice versa. We'll see. Matt, players to watch are 6'9 forward Tyler Rawson, who's averaging 10-6-3, 5'8 guard Justin Bibbins. And whenever I see 5'8, I always assume they're 5'6. Is that unfair? Or do people still exaggerate their heights? Or is that
yes.
not like...
Come on. Earlier in this podcast, I said I was 5'9". Okay. Obviously, people are still exaggerating their heights.
I didn't even correct you. What's wrong with me? What kind of older brother am I?
I can't believe you let that one fly.
I'm a terrible older brother to not.
Do you know for years
for
my
that.
Driver's license said 5'10 on it? For years.
My driver's license still says 5'10.
That's malarkey.
I'm 5'10 if I stand on something that's about an inch. So there you go.
I'm average height. I'm average height worldwide. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, well, I think, as they say,
seriously, the worldwide average height in 1742. I am that height. And I'm comfortable with that.
So anyway, 5'8 guard Justin Bibbins is averaging 11-3-5, and then
Bilbo Bibbins,
6'8 forward David Collette is averaging 14-5-1, leading the team in scoring. They don't have somebody that's scoring big. These are their three of their top four scorers that I mentioned. Rawson is the guy that does a little bit of everything for them. Bibbins is obviously the playmaker, and Collette has some scoring. All three of these guys, and I think they're their three best players, Matt, all three of them are transfers from other schools. So apparently, he who shall not be named can't recruit out of high school. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they fell victim to his spell.
They did. They did fall victim to his spell. Actually, that's hats off to them for bringing in some good transfers. Matt, so let's talk about predictions. Gary Payne says this, and that's at FastBreakGP on Twitter, says, guard play and free throws, my keys to beat Utah, yours. #tweetbag, #painbag. Matt, what are your keys to beating Utah?
I think you hit one of them on the head earlier, is the ability to alter shots inside.
Was it a cheap shot to the head?
No, cheap shot to the head.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
So
I'm sorry, Nick. I love you. You're the best.
I think that's going to be a key component to how well we can handle their offense.
Okay.
Is the ability to alter shots. The other one is, you know, I think we've got to play it safe. Just kidding. I just wanted to make another reference to safety. But I'm with him on free throws.
Yeah, we are going to have to,
because I see this is going to be a close game, and you're going to have to.
Close game.
You get a trip to the charity stripe. You've got to take advantage of that.
Yeah. In addition to what you said, because I think you made some good points for once.
Mostly, you feel that way because I just stole your points, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine too. I mean, if you're going to steal points, they should be from me because I'm super smart. I think the other piece for us, I mean, if you look at the last game, right, and you look at who's playing, the rotation, and we talk about this every year with Rose, right? At the beginning of the year, everybody plays. And then as you get into the season, it gets tighter. I think only 7 guys played against Weber.
We seem to be getting to that spot earlier this season than we have been in the past.
I think that at least according in my memory, that's true, right? I think we are. And against Illinois State, obviously, it was a different game. We played 9. And Dastrup, who I was making a big deal out of earlier in the year, has kind of disappeared. But I don't know if he's dealing with injuries. But anyway, there is some... There's some injury stuff in here, but it's also, I think, who does Rose trust in a close game? And I think this will be a close game. The other part is Celius seems to be coming alive, which is good because it's we need some good play out of him. But the big part to me is our 3-point shooting. I really believe that is how we will live or die in this game. If we have a good 3-point shooting night, we win. If we have an off night, I think we lose. And right now we're shooting 36%, which is not great. Bryant is doing well. Hawes is starting to get back up there. And Celius is doing okay. I think we really got to get a good night out of our 3-point shooting. So there you have it. There you have it, Matt.
There it is, folks.
So, Matt, who's winning on Saturday night? You taking the Cougs, or do you side with evil?
I'm taking the Cougs.
So am I.
I think it's a close matchup, but I think we pull this one out.
Yeah. Our brother Don asks, is it worth staying up past 10? Is that even a real question, Don? Of course it is.
Is it worth staying up past 10? I mean, what?
Yeah, of course it is. Am I going to be staying up past 10? Is there a chance I fall asleep at halftime?
It's past 10 right now, and I'm up.
Yeah, we're recording a podcast at 10. We think it's worth talking about BYU sports without anything to watch.
I think, I think Don is really asking if it's worth staying up past 10 Eastern, which for him is 9. So, I don't know. That's a decision he's going to have to make on his own. So,
yeah, that sounds like a personal decision. I don't know that we can make that for you, Don. Because it starts, it's 9 Mountain. So it's 10, it's 10 Central.
No, but that's not what he's asking.
Oh.
He wants to know if he should go to bed at his regular time.
I see what you're saying.
Quarter to 8.
I see what you're saying there.
I keep backing it up every time I talk about it, it's earlier.
Slow, but I got there. Matt, last thing on basketball. Nick Emery wrote a blog post. I don't think it was news. He described the reasons why he isn't playing this year, and it was fairly consistent with what has been reported. Matt, I have to say I applaud Emery putting that out there. I know there's a lot of weird rumors about him, and he basically said he's coming back. So I'm just going to buy everything that he said on face value because I don't have any reason not to. How's that?
I have no real information telling me not to take what he's saying at face value. I do think, he didn't really address the NCAA stuff.
He did not.
Rightfully so.
Yes, he should. He should stay out of that until something is said.
Yeah, he probably, and somebody has given him some good advice on that. But at the end of the day, I don't know that anybody who is buying into the rumors and things that are going around about Emery is going to read that and change their mind.
No, I totally agree with you.
But it is a good opportunity for him, and probably helps. Maybe it helps him get a little bit off of his chest. in terms of what he's been going through, because it's been quite a year for the young man.
Yeah.
So in those terms, I hope it was useful for him. You know, and maybe, you know, it at least gives him an opportunity to try and set the record straight so his voice can be heard among the cacophony of ridiculousness coming out of some of the local press.
Yes, yes. And you described it very well. Ridiculousness. So, Matt, let's shift to football.
You're not going to say anything about my use of the word cacophony?
I thought it was fantastic. You gold star, sir. Gold
appreciate
star.
Appreciate it.
Matt.
Sometimes things like that just come to me. It was a moment.
You and I thought by when we record this podcast, recording it on the evening of December 12th, that we would have an offensive coordinator. We do not.
No, we do not.
We do not. Now, our big prediction was we would have it before Christmas, okay? As a present under the tree for all of the Cougar
Last
faithful.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
And you were making fun of me earlier for my sentence?
Oh, yeah. Wham.
The very next day. You gave it away. Are we singing a duet of Last Christmas? That's weird. I made this weirder.
This just got weird.
So we don't have an offensive coordinator. But let's go down some of the crazy rumors that are going around right now, okay?
Yeah, I love these rumors.
Okay, here's the rumors. Norm Chow. That's the big rumor, Matt. I don't know. He wasn't even on our original list because I thought it was a ridiculous suggestion. And now people are legitimately thinking that Norm Chow is either going to be like the offensive coordinator, or maybe like a co-offensive coordinator, which, by the way, that's not a thing. You just name an offensive coordinator. The University of Utah does co-offensive coordinators. Stupid people do co-offensive coordinators.
It's weird. It's weird.
Okay, but
you know,
okay.
If you want Norm Chow to come in as a consultant or something like that, then let's just say that that's what it is.
Okay, so thumbs up, thumbs down, Norm Chow offensive coordinator.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. He hasn't called plays in years. And the last few offenses he had were terrible. All due respect, Norm Chow. I love Norm Chow. I've interviewed Norm Chow when I was a sports writer. I think he knows a ton about how to coach football. I just don't think that's what I hear people saying. All the discipline and whatever else. Norm Chow 20 years ago, yes, he brings the hammer. Norm Chow today, I don't know if he does that anymore, right? And will he? You know, will he have the respect of the 22-year-old guy on the team? You know, I don't know. I think this is a retread thing. I don't want a retread. I want somebody new. I don't want a retread. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Matt, am I wrong?
I'm not going to burn all my BYU gear if it's Norm Chow. I just think that this is really unlikely.
Neither. I don't think it's... I wouldn't like, you know, be like, this is the worst thing ever. Anyway, Matt, the other rumor that is one that we had talked about was the offensive coordinator for Weber State, who you referenced earlier, Fessy Satake, and he's, I believe, in his first year of calling plays at Weber State. Now, he is technically the cousin, but everybody on Twitter is very quick to point out that basically, for all intents and purposes, they're like brothers, okay? Him and head coach Kalani Sitake. Matt, his offense was great this year. Thumbs up or thumbs down for Fessy Sitake?
So that offense put up more points on James Madison by a couple of touchdowns than any other team that James Madison faced all season.
Yeah, yeah.
And had a real shot at knocking off the defending national champions at that level because of the offensive performance they put in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that there's some clear talent there from a scheme perspective, from a play calling perspective, game planning perspective. There's a lot there. There's a lot there that's showing promise.
Second season as offensive coordinator, by the way. I was wrong. For some reason, I thought it was his first, but it's his second.
You know, and in terms of some of the things we've talked about, I mean, it checks some of those boxes, right? It's got some play calling experience, not necessarily the D1 level, but I think we've got to keep in mind who we are, right? But because the relationship stuff makes me a little bit nervous, right? I mean, we got a lot of, if there was one thing that Ty Detmer brought to the staff, I think it was a different point of view.
Yes.
And a different football philosophy than the other people that were around him. And I don't know, in this case, you know, I don't think that was the problem. I don't think that different philosophy is really what, well, in a way it kind of is what did Detmer in, right? But
just terrible coaching did Detmer in.
Right. So I think you've gotta broaden your net a little bit before you bring in a guy like Fessy Satake. But yeah, I think Satake could come in and be successful? Maybe. I'd like to maybe see another year at that level before he makes the jump up to Division One. But
he hits everything I talked about in our show a couple of weeks ago about what I want an offensive coordinator to have if they're going to come from the FCS level. I think I'd prefer somebody from the FBS level. But if they're going to come from the FCS level, he checks the boxes for me, right? The problem to me is the relationship piece. Is that a real big deal? I don't know. But I think, like you said, it's probably better for Kalane Satake to go and get somebody maybe not as close to him personally, right? And not just because he's a relative, but because, you know, some of the rest of his staff is people that he's worked with a lot in prior staffs. That's not true with Fessy Satake, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's probably better if he went in another direction. Matt, there are some rumors also circulating on Twitter that the staff has already been assembled. They already know who the offensive coordinator is, and for some reason they're waiting to announce it. So it's very possible that you're listening to this going, hey, we already know who it is, dummies, and now you're not even discussing it. Sorry, we recorded this on Tuesday night. What are you going to do if they do announce it later in the week? You know, there's nothing we can do about that. So Matt, I think that's all we're going to say on the offensive coordinator thing. People are still out there defending Detmer. We've spent enough time saying why Detmer was the wrong. And in the end, it doesn't even matter anymore, right? He's not going to be calling plays next year. So
he may not even be on the staff.
Moving on. Matt Bushman, Matt, was named freshman All-American by the USA Today. Not surprised. Led FBS freshman in catches and I think yards as well. So congrats. And we got three more years of Matt Bushman to catch passes for us. Matt, on the recruiting trail, two signees, one for 2018 class, one for 2019. Quarterback Stacy Connor out of Texas committed to BYU, switching from UNLV after he had an official visit, I think, last weekend. And then 2019 three-star running back, cornerback Lorenz Red, which is a terrific name, by the way, also committed to BYU. Matt, I want to focus on Connor here for a second. A lot of people are saying, oh, this shows what kind of offense they're going to run. He is a, you know, very athletic run and pass quarterback, 6'5", by the way. Like, he is tall, a tall dude. Matt, does this recruit signal what kind of offense we will run in the future?
Nope.
The other thing about Stacy Connor is do not be shocked if he switches positions. I'll say that right now. He could end up playing wide receiver. Somebody that athletic, you feel that way about any quarterback who signs that's super athletic, there is a non-zero chance they switch positions. Just because you look at our quarterback pipeline, it's pretty full, right? And Connor, I believe, is LDS, and I don't know what mission plans are, so that also plays into it as well. So it'll be interesting to see, but seems like a super athletic dude that could be a good fit. But he is, you know, before people get too excited, he's switching from UNLV, not from Alabama. Okay, so, you know, he's a good recruit, but it's not, we didn't just steal, like, a five-star type of guy. Anything else?
Wait a minute, he's not a former linebacker from Alabama.
He's from UNLV. He's not a former linebacker from UNLV playing quarterback.
He just
committed there. So Matt, Dr. Nick, Nicholas Nelson on Facebook has this to say. After the worst football season in my lifetime, I've been thinking about setting realistic expectations for BYU football.
Probably a good idea.
Independence hasn't significantly improved BYU's on-field success, and it's pretty clear that we're not getting into a Power 5 conference anytime soon. Matt, before I finish, I broke our rule about Gordon Monson. I read his thing, his last article.
Oh, why did you do that?
It's a good one. It's a good one. It got me mad because of his commentary, but it's basically the story of how we almost got into the Pac-10 in the 90s. And the best part was Monson says maybe they didn't get back get in then because of LGBTQ policy in the 90s. Yeah, that wasn't a thing in the 90s.
Well,
like,
and
it was a thing, but nobody was like, that would not have held us back. Moving on. What are realistic yet ambitious goals for BYU football in the next 5 years? Is it a New Year's Six Bowl an unreasonably high bar? Yes. How about a 10-win season? No. Also, I will not be climbing in any bags. It's still creepy. Thank you, Dr. Nick. Matt, New Year's Six Bowl, is that a
hashtag climb on in?
No, stop it. He chose not to do that.
Climb on in.
Dr. Nick hates your guts right now. Is a New Year's Six Bowl unreasonably high bar?
Yes.
We don't have great access to it, right? So I would
say...
Well,
and when you say that, I mean, with what frequency are you talking about here? I mean, yeah, is there going to be... Are we going to have, like, one of those once-in-a-lifetime type seasons where we make a run like that? Maybe.
But even if we do, they don't have to pick us.
But to expect that to happen with any type of regular frequency at this point is unrealistic.
No, because we've had how many seasons where we would have been worthy of that total in the history of BYU football? Like 5, 6?
Oh, I'd say 2, 3.
I think it's maybe a little bit higher than that, but you might be right. It's not many. So no, I think that's an unreasonably high bar. I think a 10-win season is not. These current schedules, maybe. You look at that 2020 schedule, right? For example, which they announced some games for that, Matt, recently. I mean, the 2020 schedule is at Utah, Michigan State at home, at Arizona State, at Minnesota, Utah State, and then later in the year you have Houston, Northern Illinois, Boise State, San Diego State, and at the Stanford Cardinal.
Well, that should be a fun one.
10 games. I don't think 10 games is going to be easy there. 19, Utes, Volunteers, Trojans, Huskies, Washington Variety, Toledo, Boise State, Liberty, Utah State, Idaho State, UMass, San Diego State. Okay. Oh, boy.
At least we got Liberty and UMass in there.
Yeah. And then next year, we talked about this one a couple weeks ago, at Arizona, Cal, at Wisconsin, McNeese, at Washington, Utah State, Hawaii, Northern Illinois, at Boise, at UMass, New Mexico State, at Utah. 10 wins might be unrealistic. I don't know. I don't know, Nick. I don't know what the expectations are right now.
I think we all just need to say, hey, if we can get to a bowl game next year,
long term, I think, Nick, 10 wins is a goal that they should strive for. I think next year getting to a bowl game is the goal. Win 6 with that 2018 schedule, right?
But if you think about Nick's long-term question here, right? Is there a point at which you decide that independence is not for you and you join a conference that's not a P5 conference?
I think you do that as soon as somebody won't pay us $1 million a game or whatever that number was.
So you make that decision solely based on what you're making on your TV contract?
Not solely, but I think that's a major driver only because what I hear people talking out both sides of their mouth. In one side, they say, aren't willing to compete with the big boys and spend money on coaching staff, which is not an untrue statement, right? We do not pay our coaching staff, but to be fair, we pay them relatively better now than we have in the past. So I think it's gotten a little better. Though maybe that's not true. I'd have to go back and look at figures. Plus, we don't actually ever know what the BYU coaches make, right? It's all kind of a guessing game. But then people then on the other side of their mouth say, well, we should go join a conference. Well, guys, if we go join a conference, the revenue goes down, right? So your ability to spend more for coaches goes down and to spend more on whatever else it is that we think we need to be competitive. So I get a little annoyed sometimes because I'm like, you guys can't have it both ways. We can't go spend a bunch of money on coaches and reduce our revenue. Those two are like contradictory to each other, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying.
But someday ESPN may come to us and say, we're not going to give you that kind of money anymore. If you want to do a deal like this, you got to take a third of the money. And then it becomes, well, at that point, it might be a wash to be in a conference, and there are benefits to being in a conference, right? I will tell this, though. I don't think that conference is the Mountain West. Guys, we're not going back. Andy Splatch or whatever his name is on Twitter and all these people that talk about the Mountain West, they're not letting us back in. There are enough schools there that hate our guts. They're not letting us back in. Wyoming will never vote for it. Okay? I until recently, I didn't think San Diego State would, but now they've scheduled this. So maybe that has changed. But I don't think everyone assumes that the Mountain West would just like open their doors and welcome us back in because that's financially probably the smartest thing to do. I don't think people always make rational decisions.
We know that they don't. They're not making purely money based decisions.
No, and if
they
we
never have.
And if it was all rational based decisions, we'd already be in the Pac-10 in the '90s and in the Big 12 now. If it was, everybody did it on rational decisions, right? Because there's no reason in the '90s that we weren't put into the Pac-10. There's no reason at all. It was all based on stuff outside of sports. So, you know, I don't know. I look at that and all that stuff, you know. Anyway. Well, I'm sure we'll do a whole show on that sometime this offseason. Matt, let's preview some bowls that we are not qualified to preview.
Well, this is the best time of year.
So we are going to run through the first, I think, 5 or 6 bowls of the season, most of which happen on Saturday, the 16th, that is coming up. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to say who the teams are. We're going to say what the spread is. We're going to make a pick. And then we're going to give a percent probability that we watch any of this game. Okay? That's what we do every year. Why change it? People love it. Actually, I don't know if people love it. I hope you love it. It's very, very exciting for me. All right. So, Matt, the first game, bowl game of the season is the R&L, or is that R plus L, Carriers Bowl?
R&L.
R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. I believe that takes place in New Orleans.
I think you're correct.
North Texas, 9-4 versus a 10-2 Troy team. Troy is favored by 7. Matt, who you taking?
I'm taking the Trojans of Troy.
I am also taking them. Are you taking them and the points? Like you
taking I'm also them taking cover? The points. Yeah, they will cover.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Percent chance you see any of that game?
100%.
100%. My kids will be at dance that I will have already seen, so you don't think I'm a terrible parent. I'm watching these small children while the ballet is going on, so I'm not a terrible parent. Well, I still may be a terrible parent, but that's not in this particular case. So I'm watching football, man.
I'm watching football
Saturday afternoon. All right, next game up is the...
You know, maybe I'll go to this one. What if I went to it? I've never been to a bowl game.
I bet you there's still tickets available.
I imagine so.
The Auto Nation Cure Bowl, Matt, that's 6-5 Georgia State versus 6-6 Western Kentucky. What is Western Kentucky? I don't know what they are. Their mascot. Anyway, they're favored by 6.5. Matt, who you got?
I'm taking Georgia State.
I'm taking Georgia State to cover, but Western Kentucky to win.
So you're picking the Hilltoppers to win.
Hilltoppers. I knew it was a cool name. That's a terrific name, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, cool is name. Kind of a relative term.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a cool name, so shut up.
Subjective evaluation.
Yeah, shut up. Matt, the next game is 25th-ranked Boise State, 10-3 versus unranked Oregon, 7-5. Matt, this is the Las Vegas Bowl, by the way. We've been in that one. Oregon favored by 7.5 points. That line is terrible. Boise State wins the game.
Yes, they do.
Boise State wins that game. Oregon's not very good. I don't know why they're favored. The opening line was 5.5, so people are betting on Oregon up and above that 5.5 line. I don't understand it. Do they think Oregon is still good?
It's a brand. It's a brand, baby.
It's a brand. They were 7-5. Not great.
People realize Chip Kelly's not there anymore. Right?
He is not. He will be coaching down the road a little bit. The Gildan New Mexico Bowl, Matt, features 7-5 Marshall and 7-5 Colorado State, another school that has not scheduled us since we left the Mountain West. Anyway.
Can we just call this the New Mexico Underwear Bowl?
Sure. Can.
Isn't that what Gildan makes?
I believe so. Let's call it the Underwear Bowl. Man, so many jokes that I'm not going to make. Colorado State is favored by 5.5 points, Matt. I am taking the Rams. Who you got?
I'm taking the herd.
He's taking the herd. I love it. Take the herd. Climb on in the bag with the herd. Now, does that work? I don't know what I'm saying now.
I don't know. I'm not sure what you're saying right now. I'm not sure what you're suggesting, man.
The Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. That's middle 6-6.
Camellia.
Oh, and by the way, 100% chance
Camellia
we see
Bowl.
All of these games, right? Because we're all watching stuff all day. Okay.
Yes. All right. I'm having withdrawal, and this is the time of year where you start to get a little misty when you think about it.
Yeah.
Is college football not going to be around much longer, folks?
That's
we're
right.
About to head into the dark days.
We are rapidly headed to the dark days. Matt, the Carnelia Bowl, is that what it is? I don't know what it is. Who cares?
Camellia? I don't know what it is.
6-6 Middle Tennessee State versus 7-4 Arkansas State. Arkansas State is favored by 3.5. I'm taking Arkansas State.
I'm taking Arkansas State just because I just statistically that on paper they look better.
Yeah.
And I've got a friend who went to school and played there, so I feel like I've got to fall on that side.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you. By the way, 0% chance. This is the night game. I won't see any of this.
By the time we get to that, I probably will have spent all of the capital I've got.
Yeah, the capital will be gone, so I won't see the Carnelia Bowl or whatever the heck it is. Matt, Tuesday, so a week from today. It is the Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
What?
I don't know. I'm not making that up. I may be mispronouncing it, but I'm not making it up. It's the Akron Zips 7-6 versus.
Listen.
What?
The last 7 words out of your mouth were Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl Akron Zips. I mean, what are we talking about?
I don't
like,
know what's
that
going
sounds
on.
Like it, is this code for something? I don't even know.
It's definitely code for something.
Cherubundi Tart Cherry.
Cherubundi Tart Cherry.
Boca Raton Akron Zips Bowl.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's the Akron Zips 7-6 versus the 10-3 Florida Atlantic something or others.
Lane Kiffins of Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, the Lane Kiffins. They are favored by 22.5 points, Matt. I am taking Akron with the points, but I don't think Florida Atlanta will cover, I guess I should say, but I think they win.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking the Fighting Lane Kiffins on this one.
I think there's about a 20% chance I see at least some of this game a week from now.
Hey, this is the school that Lane Kiffin's at, right?
Or is he at Florida International?
There's a lot of these three initial Florida schools that kind of all blend together in my head.
I can't remember. Does it matter? He'll be gone probably before next season starts.
It'll be lucky if he makes it to this bowl game.
So let's do two more games, Matt. Next Wednesday, December 20th, is the DXL Frisco Bowl. That's 6-6 Louisiana Tech versus 7-5 without a coach, Southern Methodist. SMU is favored by 5. I'm taking the Mustangs.
Yeah, I mean, I just when you say the DXL Frisco Bowl, I feel like somebody needs to call the police. But I'm just full of jokes. You know what I mean? My next question was going to be, when does SMU finally get out of all those sanctions and penalties?
I believe they have already done that.
How did they clear that? Was that this year?
I believe they're not still under sanctions for paying Craig James to play football.
I'm taking the Mustangs.
All right. So Matt, the next one we have is the Bad Boy Mowers.
That's the guy that used to do my lawn. I finally had to fire him. They were never showing up.
It's like I'm making these up, right? It's like I'm making these up, but I'm not. So anyway, Temple 6-6 Temple versus 8-4 Florida International. The Owls are favored by 7. I'm taking whatever the Florida International is. Is it Florida Internationals? Like, what's the name of that?
Yeah,
school?
They're the Panthers, but Panthers. It is Florida International. They're also possibly the other Fighting Lane Kiffins. But I'm taking the Owls. Yeah, I'm taking the Owls in this one. I think Temple's still got some leftovers from a good season. I think they get this one done.
All right. Well, Matt,
the Bad Boy Mowers
Gasparilla Bowl.
Gasparilla sounds like a medical condition.
I can't. We can't make this stuff up.
That's for real.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing.
Insane.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know what that is. DXL Frisco. I get that one. I actually know what that is, right?
Yeah, I know what DXL is.
Cherubundi Tart Cherry. I don't know what that is. Raycom. I know what that is. Camellia. Don't know what that is.
I don't know what the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, and that's at Tropicana Field, by the way. So there'll be more people, even though there'll be almost no people there. They'll have more people than a Tampa Bay Rays game.
I just know why anybody is hiring these guys to mow anything. They're clearly not very good at it.
Yeah, they say right in their name they're terrible at it. Well, Matt, we'll be back next week to talk about what happened in the rivalry. Dang it!
Yes, you did. Dang it! Come on, that wasn't on purpose. That sounded on purpose.
I don't want to be Elmer Fudd. I don't want to be Elmer Fudd.
Rivalry week. It's rivalry week, everybody.
I don't want to be Elmer Fudd.
We are really excited to talk about rivalry week.
Okay, shut up. So anyway, we'll be back to talk about the Utah game. We'll be back and previewing a bunch of other bowl games. And I'm hoping we're back to talk about a new offensive coordinator. That's what I'm hoping.
That would be really sweet.
Oh, shut up. You're an idiot. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Find this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Join us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Hey, you should subscribe to us on iTunes. Matt, don't you think that's a great idea?
That is a great idea. I've done it, and I never regretted it.
That's right, you haven't. That's right, you haven't. You know, that could be your Christmas present to yourself and to us. Two birds, one stone. I'm just saying.
This is a time where really it's the thought that counts.
No, it's not. The thought is never what counts. The monetary value is what counts. Okay.
Oh, and that. Well, the podcast subscription's free.
That's right. That's right. So that shows how much you care about yourself and us. So anyway, thank you for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
Something you said, I just died.